victory for you and me. Already won. Already won.
Yes,
victory.
We have the victory.
Over everything that comes against you. It's already won. Already. Already won. Already. Things that you don't even know about. Already. Already.
It's already.
Things
it's
that
already
seem
done.
Insurmountable.
Yeah. It's already. It's already.
Already.
It's already. It's already done. Say that, church. It's already. It's already. It's already. It's already done.
We just need to believe it.
It's already. It's already. It's already. It's already done. It's already. It's already. It's already. It's already done.
The Bible says this is the victory that overcomes the world.
Say it, Pastor.
Even our faith. So just believe that it's already won.
Just believe it. Just believe it. Just believe it. It's already done.
It's
yeah.
already.
Just believe it.
To give God
just
praise
believe
for
that. It. Just believe it. It's already done. Hey, yeah. Just believe it.
Believe it.
Just believe it.
Believe it.
Just believe it. It's already done.
Yes, it is.
Just believe it. Uh-huh. Just believe it. Just believe it. It's already done.
Don't care what it looks like.
Go,
what
Pastor,
it feels
go.
Like, what it seems like,
right.
What they're talking about,
yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
already,
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 already
won.
It's already done, Lord.
Victory over death,
yeah.
victory over the grave,
yeah.
victory over sickness,
Hallelujah.
Victory over confusion, victory over our finances,
yeah.
victory in our families. Victory in our communities. Victory on the campus. Victory on the block. Victory in the city. Victory in your body. It's already done. According to your faith, be it unto you. Receive it and give God praise for it. God sees your kids. He sees your children walking in their God-given destiny with victory. Your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your siblings, your spouse, everybody that's connected to you, the victory is already done. The manifestation is on its way, so you might as well praise God for it.
Thank you,
you might as well praise Him.
Thank you, Lord.
In advance.
Oh, praise Him.
Time means nothing to God.
Might as well praise
that we
Him.
Gotta deal
you
with.
Might as well, might as well. You might as well praise Him.
You might as
you
well.
You might as well praise Him. You might as well praise Him. You might as well, might as well. You might as well praise. You might as well praise Him. You might as well.
Hallelujah. God knows, He knows the end from the beginning. He already knows it. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Nothing catches God by surprise. He's aware of your circumstance. He's aware of your situation, but you have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you will receive the promise. Just do the will of God in that situation. Don't get off track. Don't get sidetracked. Just keep doing the will of God. Just keep doing it. And God's gonna come through.
Yes, he will.
And when God comes through, won't be nobody able to take the credit but God. We'll give all the glory to him. So you might as well give it to him now. You might as well praise him now. Because he's gonna work it out. And he knows the best way to work it out. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Our God is invincible.
Invincible.
Our God is undefeated. Our God is phenomenal, fabulous, splendidly marvelous, and excellently majestic. That's our God.
That's my God. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Glory. Glory. Ha ha. Glory, hallelujah. What a great God. What a great God. What a great God.
Hallelujah.
What a great God.
Hallelujah. We bless your name, Jesus.
What a great God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
What a great God. God, we bless you.
Hallelujah.
We bless you.
We praise you.
We glorify you. We exalt your name. We magnify your name. We don't have all the answers, but we have you. And you have us. And that's all we need. You're all we need. You're who we rely on. You're who we depend on. Your name is great. You're excellent. God, we bless you. Sometimes it's good to corporately take time out and extol our God.
Yes, hallelujah.
Make his name great.
Hallelujah.
Make his name glorious.
Yes.
Magnify God, and our problems will diminish.
Yes,
if we hold our problems up to God, our problems can't compare to the massive power and awesomeness of our great God.
Hallelujah.
He's so great, he can handle everybody's problems and situation at the same time.
Amen.
And don't miss a beat. Glory. Glory, hallelujah. What a great God. Thank you, Jesus. The English language fails in comparison when we think about the goodness of God. We don't even have words to express how great our God is. We make feeble attempts with the limited knowledge that we have. Whatever superlative we can give, God is greater than that. Amen. He's greater than that. I praise God for his goodness and his mercy. Amen. I want to talk this morning from a thought, disciples welcomed here. Disciples welcomed here. I was pondering, okay, God, what am I going to say today? Because I don't know unless God lets me know. And I think that's a good place to be. And this thought came to my mind earlier in last week. And sometimes you have to walk around with a thought and let God speak to you and let God bring the thought the way he wants to bring it. So this is what we're going to endeavor to do with the Lord's help. Now, the word disciples is mentioned for the first time in the Old Testament in Isaiah 8:16. And that word there in that text means instructed. It means accustomed. It means learned, taught, used. And that's from Strong. And in the New Testament, the word is first found in Matthew, the 10th chapter, in verse 24. And it means a learner, that is, a pupil, a disciple. All right?
There's a scripture in Hebrews, it's very, very familiar scripture in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, in verse number 6. That will probably be our primary thought scripture, but we will go to some other scriptures. But I want to have this primary thought in our minds. The Amplified Version reads this verse of Hebrews 11 and 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please and be satisfactory to him. For whoever would come near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that he is the rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek him out. That's Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 6. So the writer is saying that we need to have faith if we are endeavoring or making any attempt to please God at all. For whoever comes near to God, if you want to approach God, first of all, you got to believe that he exists. Now, there are many people, there are many people in the world today, they don't have a problem with admitting that there is a God. Or they don't have a problem even acknowledging God. And sometimes through their life, they are searching earnestly for God. This is one of the reasons why I believe that we have to be careful about who we say that God hears and who we say that God doesn't hear. Because the Bible just said that God is a rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek him out. And oftentimes, we are limited in our experience about God or in our knowledge about God to the teaching or the information that is available to us. And I'm glad that God can read hearts. I'm glad that God, again, is God and we are not. Because oftentimes, people, we would tend to shun or discount or disregard, they are earnestly seeking God. And it is important for us who have been found by God, who have accepted God's word, who have embraced the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, who have believed the gospel message, who have received the good news message, the gospel of Christ, who have obeyed the message of Christ, and who have surrendered to the message of Christ. See, there's a lot of things that we got to do with the gospel. We got to hear it. We have to receive it. We have to embrace it. And we have to believe it. And we have to obey it. There's a lot involved there. And when we reach those steps, and it actually doesn't take a long time to go through all those processes. All it takes is faith and obedience. And once we put our faith in what God has provided as the plan of salvation for mankind, then it is our responsibility to live this message. It is our responsibility to live it out in our daily lives, and it is our responsibility to spread the message with, most importantly, the way we live and interact with our brothers and sisters that are inside or outside of the church. And it's important that our living line up with our talking. And we must speak the same words that God speaks, and we must live according to God's word. Now, in biblical history, in the early New Testament church, there was an account of a man who was named Cornelius. And he was not yet a Jew. He wasn't a Jew, actually. And God, through the book of Acts, which is the historical book of the New Testament church, God had not yet poured out his Spirit. God had not yet poured out the Holy Ghost on the Gentiles. On the day of Pentecost, if you read in the book of Acts, the early chapters of the book of Acts, in the second chapter of the book of Acts, after Peter was given the keys to the kingdom by Jesus Christ, and the Bible said in the second chapter of Acts, just reviewing, but we're going to go to Acts chapter 10, but just giving just a little bit of background for this thought, believers, welcome here. The Bible says that on the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all sitting in one place. It was about 120 of them. They were Jewish brethren. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house and in that upper room where they were sitting. And the Bible declares that, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, 120 souls. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there also. And the Bible says they were all filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. And there was there at that particular time in Jerusalem, there were people from all over the known world, and they were marveled at the fact that these Jewish Galileans, they were speaking in the languages of the people who had came to Jerusalem. And so, and they weren't just muttering, but they were speaking, they were prophesying, they were declaring the wonderful works of God, and they thought that they were drunk. But Peter, being predesignated the spokesman at that particular time, you know what the Bible says, but just a brief, he said, these men are not drunk, as ye suppose, seeing it's only the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. So you got to go back and see what Joel said. He said, in the last days, God said, I'm going to pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Key there, all flesh. So at that particular time, the Jews had received the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. But God, being a God that is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance, God sent Peter to Joppa. He sent Peter to Macedonia, he sent Peter to go to Cornelius' house, because before he was sent, Cornelius was a devout man. That's what the Bible says. He was a devout man. Cornelius contributed to the temple of Israel. Cornelius was kind to the Israelites, and Cornelius was a praying man. And the Bible said that he received a vision when he was praying, and the angel told Cornelius that your prayer, now he wasn't a Jew, right? But he said, your prayer has come up before God as a memorial. So I don't want nobody to tell me that God don't hear your prayer unless you belong to this particular group, or unless you belong to that particular group. But God is concerned with the humility and the sincerity of your heart. And the Bible we just read, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So in an answer to an honest prayer, in an answer to an earnest prayer, in an answer to a humble prayer, God sent Cornelius some information. He said, I want you to send for Simon. And he told him what house that he's in. So now we jump to Acts, the 10th chapter. We jump to Acts, the 10th chapter, beginning at verse number 1. Here's what it says. It says, now living at Caesarea, there was a man. I guess I told you, we should have read it, but let's read it anyway. Now living at Caesarea, there was a man whose name was Cornelius, a centurion captain of what is known as the Italian regiment. So he was a soldier. He was a centurion. And the Bible says in verse 2, he was a devout man who venerated God and treated him with reverential obedience. So here, this man wasn't even a Jew, but he treated God with obedience. You see that? As did all his house. He was so devout that he influenced his whole house, right? And he gave much alms to the people and prayed continually to God. Verse 3, And about the ninth hour, about 3 p.m. of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God entering and saying to him, Cornelius. And he, gazing intently at him, became frightened and said, What is it, Lord? And the angel said to him, Your prayers and your generous gifts to the poor have come up as a sacrifice to God and have been remembered by him. God sees what you're doing, Cornelius. God hears your prayers and he sees your acts of benevolence. And guess what? God does the same thing even now. He sees our acts of benevolence. He sees when we go and help people that can't help themselves. Even if it's just a little, God sees the little. And he hears and he understands and remembers prayers. So verse number 5, now send men to Joppa and have them call for and invite here a certain Simon whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with a tanner whose house is by the seaside. So moving fast forward, Cornelius gets the instructions. Because you prayed and because your heart is right toward God and because God has promised that his salvation is for all mankind, not just one particular race of people. But the Bible did say in Romans, it did say, Paul said, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to them that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So God had a plan to bring salvation to the Jews first, but it just wasn't going to stop there because God wants everybody in the kingdom. There's enough room in the kingdom of God for whosoever will let him come. All right, so now we jump down in this 10th chapter of Acts, and we moved now to when Peter gets to Cornelius' house. Now we have to understand that, again, Peter was a Jew, and we have to understand that there was some ill feeling. There was some division between Jews and non-Jews, and we have to understand that Peter was prejudiced. Yes, he was an apostle. Amen, amen, amen. Saved, amen. Filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, yet and still prejudiced. Yes, so we have to admit that we, amen, can often be saved, filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, and still have some prejudice strongholds in our hearts. Now, if God can put Peter out like that, surely he can read our hearts, because God had to deal with him on the rooftop of his house when he gave him a vision and he saw those unclean animals, and he told Peter, Rise, Peter, slay and eat. Now, he has the audacity to say, Not so, Lord. God's giving you a vision and telling you to do something. You're going to tell God no. How many of us have told God no in our actions? God said, I want you to go here and do this for this person. No, God, I ain't going. No, he don't look like me. She don't look like me. And, you know, we ain't got nothing to do with this. You know, and I can't cross this boundary. No. So God had to deal with Peter's prejudice. Because Peter, listen, God is bigger than your prejudice. And when you really sell out to God, you're going to do whatever God tells you to do. But God has to convince you. And this is what God did with Peter. Look at the grace. Look at the mercy of God. Because God could have said, Okay, Peter, you don't want to go. I'll send somebody else. But sometimes God puts up with our foolishness. And he talks with us. And he deals with us until we get the right understanding. Because God's program and God's kingdom and God's purpose will be fulfilled. So God had to deal with Peter's prejudice. And when God dealt with him, and after he dealt with him, then Peter said, all right, God, I think I got it now. I think because Peter still had some other problems, if you read on in the gospel. But right then he said, Okay, God, I'll go. So he went to Cornelius' house, and now he's at Cornelius' house, a Gentile. See, you have to understand that Jews didn't even really associate with Gentiles. You have to understand that they were not even supposed to be in the same house with a Gentile. You understand what I'm saying? That prejudice, that spirit of prejudice, is a real strong spirit that God wants to tear down. God wants to tear it down. It's still working in the earth, but God wants to tear it down. And by the grace of God, we're going to do our part to tear it down. I don't want to be a part of an assembly where everybody looks like me. No, I want some of my Hispanic brothers and sisters. I want some of my Caucasian brothers and sisters. I want some of my Asian brothers and sisters. I want us all worshiping together. Believers welcomed here. I want some of our African brothers and sisters, because listen, it's not about a human culture, it's about the kingdom of God. So now Peter goes, and he's in the house of Cornelius. And see, one of the wonderful things about the message of Jesus will reach the heart. And that's what we want. That's what God wants. He wants his message to meet the hearts of every individual. So in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, beginning at verse 34, it says, "And Peter opened his mouth and said, Most certainly and thoroughly I now perceive and understand that God shows no partiality and is no respecter of persons." Basically, what Peter said, now I understand that God is not prejudiced. And if since God is not prejudiced and I am a child of God, I am a servant of God, then there should not be prejudice in me. Peter said, I didn't always understand it then, but most certainly now I understand it. So go through and let God take us through whatever he has to take us through to get the prejudice out of us. Because God got some things that he wants done in the kingdom. So then he says in verse 35, "But in every nation, he who venerates and has a reverential fear for God, treating him with worshipful obedience and living uprightly, is acceptable to him and sure of being received and welcomed by him." So if anybody loves God, you're welcome here. Glory, hallelujah. You might not understand it like we understand it yet, but if you are a learner of God, if you are a follower of God, if you are a student of God, am I reading what God had said in his word? "But in every nation," if you got an Amplified Bible, read verse 35 with me. "But in every nation, he who venerates and has a reverential fear for God, treating him with worshipful obedience and living uprightly, is acceptable to him and sure of being received and welcomed by him." So God don't care where you're from, as long as you venerate him, as long as you honor him, as long as you treat God with worshipful obedience. Listen, God, he wants you to honor and worship him. And he tacked on there, and living uprightly. Yes, you can worship God, but you got to live something after you're done with the worship. You got to live upright. You got to live according to what you know about God. And the more you get into God's word, then the more you will know about God. And as God shines the light of his word in your heart, you got to make a conscious decision. I got to live up to this. I got to step up to this. And the more you step up to God, that's how you venerate God. The more you conform yourself to his word. And God said, if you live like this, if your heart is like this, if you treat God the way God deserves to be treated, if you worship him, if you obey him, then you are acceptable to him and you're sure of being received. So it matters not what your religious background may be or might have been. If you got a heart like this, God said, I'll receive you. God said, I'll welcome you. So now he goes on and he says to them in verse 36, you know the contents of the message which he sent to Israel. Basically, what he's saying, you heard about what God told Israel. You heard about the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. You heard that Jesus was born of a virgin. So now he records the gospel message, the same gospel message that was preached to Israel, the same gospel message that was preached on the day of Pentecost. Here, Peter now begins to let them know, you know about it, and you heard about it. Listen, you know about Jesus. Some of you here today, you've heard about Jesus, and you know about Jesus. You know that the good news of the gospel, the good news that we don't have to die and be lost and go to hell, the good news is that Jesus Christ was born to take away our sins. The good news and the glorious news about Jesus Christ is that he went to Calvary and he offered up his life for every last human being. The good news is that he took our place. The good news is that he is the propitiation for our sins. The good news is that he is our redemption. The good news is that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that came to take away the sins of the world. The good news is that all mankind was guilty, and Jesus the Christ was the innocent one that went to the cross and made it possible for every last individual on the face of the earth to receive eternal salvation. The good news is that we don't have to die and be eternally lost. So Peter was saying, Cornelius, you and your house, you know that same gospel that was preached to the Israelites, and I'm here to preach the same gospel to you, because I hear God said in his word through the Apostle Paul that if somebody else comes along and preach some other gospel, then that which you have received, let him be anathema. That means let him be accursed. He said, even if I come, Paul said, if I get beside myself and come back and try to tell you some other gospel, he said, don't listen to me. Kick me to the curb. But I'm so glad that this gospel here has went out and the message is still the same. And this is what the Bible said. You know the contents of the message which he sent to Israel, announcing the good news, the gospel of peace, glory, hallelujah, by Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. It's because of Jesus we have peace with God. It's because of Jesus that we have reconciliation. We've been reconciled unto God. The Bible lets us know, because we were the enemies of God, but while, glory to God, we were his enemies, Christ died for us. Peter's saying, you know that. This is the same message that was preached to my brethren in Israel. So this is the message that God has allowed me and authorized me to bring to you, Cornelius, and your house. Verse 36, you know the contents, glory, hallelujah, of the message which he sent to Israel. You know about the birth. You know about the virgin birth. You know that this was Emmanuel, God with us. You know about the life of Jesus Christ. You know he lived a sinless life. You know that he did everything to please God. You know the contents. You know that he went to the cross, and you know that he died. And most importantly, you know that he got up on the third day according to the scriptures, and he was risen for our justification, and you know that he sent back after he ascended up into heaven. You know that he sent back the Holy Ghost, because we got it first. Glory, hallelujah. Somebody had to be first, but we ain't gonna be the last ones to receive it. And since he sent it back for us, guess what? He's about to send it on you Gentiles. Glory, hallelujah. I get happy when you talk about receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, because I hear the Bible said that same spirit that dwells in Christ, if it dwells in you, it shall also quicken, that means make alive, your mortal body. Don't you dare be satisfied until you get the satisfier on the inside, and the satisfier that will satisfy the longing of your soul is Jesus, the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. God, breathe on somebody like you did when you were here on the earth. Breathe, God, right now on somebody and tell them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Glory, hallelujah. The same message, verse 37, the same message which was proclaimed throughout Judea, starting from Galilee after the baptism that John preached, Peter said, we're preaching the same thing that we preached in Judea. Listen, the gospel doesn't change according to your geographical location. It's the same thing in California. The same gospel as preached in California should be preached in New York. The same gospel that's preached in this continent should be preached in Asia, in Antarctica. Glory, hallelujah. That's the power of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 38, how God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with strength and ability and power, and how he went about doing good, and in particular curing all who were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil, for God was with him. Guess what? He's still able to do that. You may have come in here being harassed. You might have come in here being oppressed and attacked by the enemy of your soul, the devil. But I got some good news to spread to somebody today. This Jesus whom we preach, this Jesus is the same one that has conquered death. He took all the power that the devil had to do you some harm. Jesus took the keys of death and hell from that rascal. And when he got up, he said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. So this same Jesus, he's the only one who can protect you from the harassment and deliver you from the oppression of the devil. God filled him with the Holy Ghost. And Jesus is the real dispenser of the Holy Ghost, because he said this was from the preaching of John. John told them to he baptized them unto repentance, and he told his followers. John had a class. John had some students, but there was another class. He was pointing them to the master teacher, and the master teacher is Jesus the Christ, Jesus, the Messiah. John said, I'm baptizing you unto repentance, but I want you to know there's another class. There's another teacher that you got to follow, and he is greater than I. His name is Jesus. So John started. He was the forerunner. He said he was sent to prepare the way of the Lord. Listen, you might have somebody that told you about Jesus. You might have somebody that got you in the door, but God wants to get you in right standing with him. So thank God for whoever he used to tell you about Jesus. And we're here to tell you, God wants you to receive the fullness of your salvation. God don't want you to half step. God don't want you to be satisfied just getting baptized in Jesus' name. Yes, you should be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. But there's more to that. The most important thing that you can get is the filling of the Holy Ghost. And if you believe, you're welcome here. All believers are welcome here. He preached Jesus unto them. He is the dispenser of the Holy Ghost, because John was commissioned by God, and John received his instructions. And the instructions were, on the one who you see the Spirit of God descend and remain, that's the one that fills, that's the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And John said, I didn't even know him. Yeah, he was my cousin according to the flesh, but I really didn't know who he was. But one thing I do know, I saw the Spirit of God descend on Jesus, and I saw it remain on Jesus. And then it came to my mind, God said, that's the one who fills, that's the one who baptizes with the gift of the Holy Ghost. So if you're here today, glory, hallelujah, and you have not had that experience yet, believe, reach out and receive it right now by faith. I would be happy and overjoyed if somebody right now received the Holy Ghost, interrupted the message, and just start speaking in tongues
and prophesied. It's the same thing that can happen because it happened then, and we got it on record. The Bible goes on to say how God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with strength and ability and power. When you get the Holy Ghost, you got some real strength, you got some real ability, and you got some real power. Glory, hallelujah, how he went about doing good, and in particular curing all who were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil, for God was with him. 39, and we are eye and ear witnesses of everything that he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. And yet they put him out of the way. They murdered him by hanging him on a tree. So he's breaking down what they did to Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. He's breaking down the gospel of Jesus Christ. But verse 40, God raised him to life on the third day and caused him to be manifest, to be plainly seen, not by all people, but to us who were chosen, designated beforehand as by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Glory, hallelujah. Peter said, this ain't no story. This ain't no fairy tale. We saw them crucify Jesus. We saw him give up the ghost. We saw him declare, into thy hands I commend my spirit. We saw him die. We saw them take Jesus' dead body and put it in that tomb. And we was all in the room, and we got to thinking and talking, and we said we thought he was the one. And we was hiding because we knew we was going to get some religious persecution, and the door was locked. Glory, hallelujah. Well, we was in that room, and then comes Jesus straight through the wall. Glory, I get fascinated and excited about a body like that. Here we were hiding. Listen, sometimes our humanness overpowers us, and our human thinking overpowers our faith. And when things don't work out when we thought they ought to work out, or how we thought they should work out, then we go back to our own human understanding and our own human reasoning. And there they were, locked in that room, talking about what we gonna do now. I don't know, but here comes Jesus. Glory, hallelujah, walks in the room. Didn't come through the door. Glory, hallelujah, he just showed up. Listen, Jesus ain't got to kick down no doors to get in the middle of your situation. All he has to do is show up. The very one who made matter is not confined by matter. So lock the doors, if you will. And Jesus, when he wants to come in, he's coming in there to see about you. They can lock you out. They can put your name on a do not enter list, but when God gets ready to come see about you, ain't a master lock, ain't a Yale lock, ain't a slash a slag lock, ain't a quick set that can keep Jesus out. When Jesus wants to come in the midst of your situation, can't nothing stop him. And that's what happened. They were locked in there, and here comes Jesus, and they were frightened, and they said, wait a minute, this looks like a ghost. Jesus said, wait, no, I ain't no ghost. Come on, touch me. So he held out his hand, and they touched him. He said, come on, touch me. And after that, he said, you got something to eat? Glory, hallelujah. The resurrected Jesus, they saw his scars in his hand. They saw the scars in his side, and he got something to eat. After he was resurrected, and Peter is saying, we saw this with our own eyes. See, listen, the devil should have killed some of us a long time ago, but it's too late. We have experienced God for ourselves. We have received the glorious gift, glory, of the Holy Ghost. You should have killed me when I was on Skid Row. You should have killed me when I was drunk on the the steps of the Yankee Hotel down off of 7th Street. You should have killed me when I was sleeping in them chairs in the Union Rescue Mission, devil. You should have killed me when I was taking them 45 pills and drinking a fifth of wine every night in South Korea. You should have killed me when I was drinking liquid codeine. You should have killed me. Glory, hallelujah. But it's too late now. It's too late now. I done experienced the salvation of God. God done filled me with the Holy Ghost. And I am an eye and an ear witness. God, glory, hallelujah. What God can do, this glorious gospel changed my life. It gave me life. It is my life. So God, through Peter, was preaching to these Gentiles at Cornelius' house, and the Bible said somewhere around verse number 44, while Peter, glory, yet spoke these words, down came the Holy Ghost. Woo! Down came the Holy Ghost. See, while Peter was preaching, I can imagine Cornelius and his family sitting on the edge of their seats and listening and receiving the gospel. So you got to listen with faith. You got to listen with faith. Yeah, we understand that the Jews ain't got nothing to do with us, but this is bigger than a Jew. This is bigger than a Gentile. This is God's message, and I can imagine that they were sitting there on the edge of their seats, and they were receiving by faith the engrafted word of God. And the Bible said in verse 44, wow, Peter was talking, they interrupted the message. Peter had to leave his notes. Glory, hallelujah. They interrupted Peter's sermon. Yeah, Peter, we know you're a preacher because you preached one time and 3,000 people got saved, but that's all right. Whether it's 3,000 or 3, get saved. That's the end result. So while Peter was preaching, the Bible said that the Holy Ghost came and it fell on those Gentiles, Cornelius and his house, and they began to speak with tongues and prophesy. Glory, hallelujah. God, do it again. You got some believers in here, God, and believers are sure enough welcome here. It's God's desire that you be filled with the Holy Ghost. I would encourage you to start praising God right now. Listen, we're going to make a switch. Never mind the notes. We done heard enough for somebody to receive the Holy Ghost right now. So what we got to do, what's our responsibility? Those of us who got the Holy Ghost already, we need to stir this atmosphere with some praise. We need to praise God. We need to praise God. We need to praise God. We need to lift up a praise. There's some believers here. You hear what I said? There's some believers here, and they need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I encourage you to lift up a praise. Listen, this is a safe place for believers. This is a safe environment for you. Get up and start walking around. Let's walk around. Come on. This ain't no everyday service. We want God to do something. Fill this house with praise. Fill this atmosphere with praise. God said he dwells in the midst of praises, and God wants somebody to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Release yourself. Release yourself into God's hand. Release yourself into God's hand. Cast your care upon God. Lift up a praise to God. Just like he heard the prayer of Cornelius, God hears your prayer. Even if it's a whisper, God can hear your whisper. Your whisper of sincerity will come into the very ear of God. Lift up a praise. Lift up a praise. Lift up a praise. While Peter, glory to God, was yet speaking, the Holy Ghost, glory, fell. The Holy Ghost fell on them that heard the word. Hear this word, believe this word, receive in the name of Jesus, receive the Holy Ghost. Open up your mouth and give God praise. You're in a safe place. You're in a safe environment. Believe God, daughter. Believe God, son. Open up your mouth. Give God praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. He dwells in the midst of praises. The Holy Ghost is for you, son. It's for you. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. The Bible declared they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. This is the place. You can make as much noise as you want for God. You can praise God as loud as you want to. God has a promise for you. He got a promise for you, son. God has a destiny for you. God has something for you to do that will bring glory to his name. Open up your mouth and give God praise. The Holy Ghost is for you, son. It's to them that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. But you got to praise. You got to offer up a praise. In the name of Jesus. Come on now. Come on. We got to praise. You got to praise. You got to praise. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. This is a good place for believers. Believers are welcome here. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. You got to praise him, son. You got to praise him. Open up your mouth and praise God. Surrender completely to him, and he will give you the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of the Messiah gave them utterance. This is that. This is that. This is that that the believers receive. This is that that the believers receive. This is that that the believers receive. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. Lift up your voice, daughter. Lift up your voice, daughter. Lift up your voice, daughter, and give God praise. Praise your God. Praise the God that you worship from your heart in your dance. Praise your God. He wants to fill you to the overflowing. In the name of Jesus, lift up your heart to God. Lift up your voice in faith to God. God's here. He sees you. Yes, he does. Yes. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. God loves you. He's concerned about you, son. He's concerned about your family. He's concerned about you. Give him praise. Give God praise. He knows everything that you're going through. He wants to fill you with power and ability and might and everlasting life in the name of Jesus. God sees you, daughter. He knows you. He knows what you're going through. His Spirit is for you. Receive it. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Believers are welcomed here. Seekers of God are welcome here. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. Believers, welcome here. Seekers of God, welcome here. Pupils, students, those who earnestly seek God and want to live right, welcome here. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Pour out your Spirit, Lord. That's our prayer. Pour out your Spirit, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Pour out your Spirit, God. In the name of Jesus. Pour out your Spirit, Lord God. Have your way in here. Have your way in here, Lord. Have your way in us.
Listen, listen, listen. We got to push past ourselves. Don't care who's next to you. Don't care who's around you. Don't care who you rode with. You get the Holy Ghost for yourself. Hallelujah. It's a promise. It's a promise. If God can fill a no good person like I was, surely, surely he can fill you. Sure, he can fill you. Yes, he can. He can fill you with the Holy Ghost. And you will speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God give utterance. Receive it now in Jesus' name. Receive it now in Jesus' name. Receive it now in Jesus' name. If you're watching by live stream, you can receive the Holy Ghost right where you are. Your geographical location does not limit the Spirit of God from coming in and filling you right now. I suggest to you that you lift your hands right now, wherever you are, wherever you're watching, you lift your hands right now and you offer God sincere praise. You offer God devout praise. You offer God obedient praise. And God, who knows the hearts and searches the hearts, he will fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. We are the Apostolic Faith, Home Assembly Church, located in the beautiful city of Los Angeles, and we invite you to come down anytime you get a chance. If you're near here, come on in here. If you are a believer of God, believers are welcome here, because God is here. It ain't about us, it's about the God that we serve, and he wants you filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. So if we live and the Lord will, we will see you on Wednesday at our evening worship service midday at 7 p.m. If not, if we live in the Lord will, we'll see you Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer request for the next 15 minutes, you call that number that's on your screen right now. We'll have prayer counselors standing by to receive your prayer request and agree with you according to the righteous word of God. Most importantly, we want you to know believers are welcome here. God bless you in Jesus' name. Now let's continue to praise in the sanctuary. Let's continue to praise in the sanctuary. Let's continue to praise in the sanctuary. Somebody needs to be refreshed. Somebody, you already got the Holy Ghost, but you're trying to live in a way that God is not pleased with. Don't run out of here. Get your refreshing in the name of Jesus, because I hear some Bible said that they were praying one place even after they received the Holy Ghost, and the place was shaking where they had assembled, and they were filled again. You need a refilling. You need a refreshing. Yes, God needs to do something in your life. You need to get it, and this is the right place to get it. Be refreshed. Be renewed. Be revived. Hallelujah. It's according to your faith. According to your faith. If you don't believe it, then you won't receive it. But if you really believe it, it don't take God long. No, it don't. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Believers are welcome here. You're welcome here. Glory. Glory. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Thank you, Jesus. God wants you saved. God wants you sanctified. God wants you filled with the Holy Ghost. He already sent it out. The Holy Ghost is here. You just got to receive it. You just got to receive it.